Deutschlandfunk. Sport am Sonntag.
Eine Krise bahnte sich im letzten November auch beim internationalen Leichtathletikverband World Athletics an. Der Verband hatte festgelegt, dass im olympischen Jahr 2020 die Diamond League Meetings, in der Leichtathletik die sportlich bedeutendsten Wettbewerbe nach Europa- und Weltmeisterschaften, reformiert werden sollten. 8 Sportarten wurden gestrichen, darunter die 3000 Meter Hindernis und der Dreisprung. Viele Athletinnen protestierten damals dagegen, am lautesten der US-Amerikaner Christian Taylor. Seit 2011 dominiert er die Dreisprungszene, gewann 4 Weltmeistertitel und 2 Olympiasiege und kündigte im November an, eine unabhängige Athletenvereinigung zu gründen, damit Athletinnen in Zukunft mehr Mitspracherecht haben. Diese Vereinigung wurde dann in dieser Woche offiziell vorgestellt, mit Christian Taylor als Präsident und zahlreichen Olympiasiegern und Weltmeistern im Führungsgremium. Mit Christian Taylor habe ich über die konkreten Ziele dieser Athletenvereinigung gesprochen, ihn aber zunächst einmal gefragt, wieso diese Vereinigung erst jetzt, Ende Juli, ihre Arbeit aufnimmt.
So the announcement was in November that I wanted to bring athletes together, but at the end of the day, this is not a club. You know, this is really an association, and we want to be a lasting effort. And so the reason it took so long is because we had to partner and get advice from organizations that are already existing to figure out basically how we can put ourselves in a way that we can be sustainable, but also make sure that our voices are being heard, because in November it was nice and there was a lot of traction and a lot of interest. But at the end of the day, then when the pandemic hit, a lot of the attention and focus went to other things. And so what we want to do is make sure that the association was properly formed. So then when life happens, that there's people that still continue the fight.
The whole reason for that project was the decision by World Athletics to cut some disciplines from those Diamond League meetings, one of them, of course, being the triple jump. They said that they wanted to create a faster-paced, more spectacular program that is all packed into 90 minutes of action. Is there, in your opinion, a different approach to achieve that goal without having to cut any disciplines?
Yeah, so what I asked them from the very beginning was, what is the research that this is based off of? Why does it have to be in a 90-minute window? Why they spoke about soccer and basketball, or football and basketball, and this is what is a successful system for them. But what I said is, we are not a rectangle or a square sport. We are an oval, and we need to utilize this and actually focus on the uniqueness that we bring. And so for me, it's not that we should be spending time and effort on putting ourselves in another box, but actually highlight what makes us unique. So the idea of cutting events and disciplines for me was not the way to go. It seems like an easy out instead of actually doing the research and coming up with ways and actually speaking to the athletes on solutions on how we can make this a better show.
Yeah, and one of the main goals of your association is, of course, to ensure that athletes' voices will be heard in the future and that athletes will have a seat at the table when it comes to decision-making and all that kind of stuff. How exactly are you planning on achieving that or making that into reality? Because as of right now, you're not sitting at that table.
Correct. We're not at the table, but the World Athletics just recently released basically their 4-year strategy and how they wish to grow the sport and how the money is being distributed and all these details. But one thing that they highlighted was that the athletes are supposedly the major stakeholders or the main focus of World Athletics. And so my ask and my response to them is, if this is truly how you stand and if this is truly what you believe, then walk the walk also. Do not just talk it and do not just put it in a press release, but also show the athletes that they are really the core value and that you really do care for us. And so that will be the example for me that I can go back to the athletes and say, see, they're not only saying this, but they're also following through with this. The athletes need to be able to have a voice and be able to have influence in the sport.
Did you have any substantial talks yet with Sebastian Coe, for example, the head of the World Athletics Association?
Yes. So from actually in November, once the announcement happened, I went to the annual meeting in Monaco and was able to sit with him and Vanola Villanine and John Ridgen and speak about what our aims are and what our plans are and what this may look like. But at the same time, this was at a very early stage, and I'm hoping now that we officially launched that, again, we can have greater dialogue, and I want to really emphasize that I'm hoping that we do have greater and more continual dialogue, that this is not a one-time thing, but that we are in the same circles, because even if it's not with me, if it is, as long as it is a representative from the association, because then we can send this information straight to the athletes. And that is what we need. We need to have greater dialogue, not just decisions being made or information that has already been done being passed to the athlete, but giving the athlete the opportunity to be in the decision-making process.
You're also a big advocate for clean sports. Now, track and field is one of the most maybe doping-infected Olympic sports. There have been some prominent cases over the last couple of months. Even in Team USA, Deja Stevens, for example, will be banned for 18 months because of whereabouts violations. Christian Coleman, of course, the world champion over 100 meters, is also facing a ban because of 3 missed doping tests in a year. Do you think that those cases maybe will take away from the credibility of athletes?
Yeah, it definitely puts a dark cloud over our sport, you know, and this is why I get so frustrated about this, because, you know, we take 2 steps forward and 10 steps back, and unfortunately we are doing this to ourselves. And so, you know, because things like incidents like this can be easily avoided, it is very frustrating for me, but this is also something that, as you said, I am a big advocate for clean sport, but this is something we are going to emphasize from the very beginning, that we, you know, if it's an education problem, if regardless of what the issue is, we want to eliminate any of the excuses and be sure that we're putting athletes in a better light, so eventually we put our sport in a better light.
In a podcast in early July, I think, you said that when there's some sort of exclusion, of course a flag needs to be thrown. Now, there probably will be an exclusion of athletes, of Russian athletes specifically. They may be completely banned after the Russian Athletics Federation did not pay a fine to the World Athletics. They won't even be allowed to participate as neutral athletes, as they have been over the past couple of years. Will you guys, as the Athletics Association, also fight for these athletes as well? Athletes that don't have a voice right now and maybe live in autocratic states and can't voice their opinions as loud as maybe you can in the U.S.?
So this is obviously a very touchy subject and something that lies in the gray area. It's something that we are discussing as a board at this time, because obviously you can see both sides of the situation, and when it is in regards of fairness, you know, if a neutral athlete has been able to prove themselves and it has been separate from what the federation as a whole has been doing, you know, should they be punished in basically, you know, with the rest of the flock? You know, this is something that we need to look into, and what we want to do is actually not exclude athletes, but to be able to give all athletes a voice. But again, at the same time, we must push that we are trying to speak for the well-being of the sport and make sure that is in a positive light. And any athlete that is dealing with these kind of drug-related issues, we want to stay clear of, because we know that this will actually hold us back and hold us from protecting the sport that we love. And so I think this is something that we need to look further into, and it's something that we are trying to tackle from the very beginning.
All right, then let's talk about another issue, which is the Black Lives Matter movement, which has really gained a lot of ground over the past couple of days, weeks, and months. And especially in the U.S., the Black Lives Matter movement has been politicized, and many athletes are speaking up as well. They're kneeling during anthems or showing other support for the movement. And actually, your first part of action as an association was to call for the change of Rule 50 of the Olympic Charter, which right now prohibits any sort of political protest or demonstration at the Olympic Games. The IOC president, Thomas Bach, already mentioned that he would be open to looking into possible changes, but only if the IOC Athletes Commission proposes possible solutions. Now, did you already have contact with the Athletes Commission of the IOC? I see that there are 4 track and field athletes on that committee.
Yes, so this is, as you said, something we were very passionate about and wanted to be, as soon as the launch, we wanted to also make a formal statement, because we believe this is actually challenging our human rights and we should be able to, you know, protest peacefully. It is something that we are very adamant about and wish to join in the fight. But when it comes to having these calls with the Athletes Commission, these are conversations that have almost continually been postponed, but we, you know, we're still going to continue staying locked in and hope that these conversations can be had so they can present something to the IOC, and then, you know, in hopes that Thomas Bach will actually make the right decision and correct Rule 50. It's not that Rule 50 goes away, because we also don't want to open up the curtain for people to abuse or take advantage of the situation. But the reality is it needs to be modified.
Are you optimistic that this rule will be modified before the Olympic Games in Tokyo?
Absolutely. With the times that we are in now, change must happen. Change will happen. And I am very optimistic that Rule 50 will be changed because the cry will be too loud for it to be ignored. And the IOC will have to make that decision.
Now, not all athletes are as outspoken as you are. Some maybe won't feel comfortable speaking up and are afraid of losing sponsorship deals, etc., because they don't have that much attention as you as a double Olympic champion have. Would you still encourage those athletes to speak out on social issues and that kind of stuff?
I definitely wish for athletes to speak out, because one of the models that the Athletic Association is pushing is that your voice matters. And so regardless of how you speak up, not everyone has to use social media. Not everyone is comfortable with that. We also realize that there are individuals that are worried about losing their sponsorship or even their image, but may feel passionate about something. And this is why we're going to have the avenues of signed petitions or unanimous entries to basically back something, but maybe not having to put their name on the line, but just being able to vote. So, you know, we also are considerate of the circumstances that we are in and the risks that also lie with actually opposing something like this. But, you know, at the end of the day, we also have those that are passionate about it. And we hope that with both parties or both sides, that the cry is loud enough.
Would you say that an athlete is almost obliged to use this platform and speak up?
I don't want to say obliged, because, you know, at the end of the day, whether you look at it as a responsibility, an obligation, or, you know, just a pull that you feel, you know, I believe that with social media now, we are given this opportunity, but it doesn't always mean that it has to be used, you know, because your voice could also be very strong and actually useful in your community around you and not even have to go on social media. So I believe that every athlete has the right to use their voice as they wish.
And many athletes are already using that right to speak up, especially here in Germany. There are some sort of labor unions for athletes formed. I don't know if you know about Athleten Deutschland e.V., which is maybe the most prominent here in Germany, where athletes gather together to actually form a voice for athletes in sports. You've been in the game for almost 10 years now. Do you feel like a sustainable change is coming?
Absolutely. I mean, we were very inspired by the German athletes and to see what they did actually with Rule 40. You know, to actually incorporate more sponsorship for these athletes. You know, the end result was getting more money in these athletes' pockets. And so we are being inspired by those from different federations and from those from even different sports. But I believe the trend in the wave now is that athletes are seeing the power they possess. And that's what we want to do. We want to correct this power imbalance, and that we empower the athletes to know that actually their voice matters and that, you know, one vote or one post or one person standing up can make a difference.